When we first started off the series, Andy gave an introduction, and he started off by talking about CenterPoint's mission statement, which says, "For God's good pleasure, CenterPoint Church exists to worship together, strengthen each other, and share with our world." And it's our aim to pursue all these aspects of CenterPoint's mission statement as well as keep them in balance. And those of you, if you're familiar with our vision document, you'll recall under the third section, Sharing with Our World, we describe how CenterPoint aspires to have corporate, meaning together as a church body, as well as personal evangelism efforts as part of the disciple-making process. You see, we desire this not only around the world, but also here in Mesquite and the surrounding areas, into your own homes and neighborhoods and workplaces and places that you normally go. We also realize that at CenterPoint's leadership, it's our responsibility as a leadership to not only do this with you, but also to equip the saints for the work of ministry as part of this disciple-making process. Now, Steve kicked off the first sermon with Mark 4 preaching on the parable of the soils. And if you recall, he gave three good reasons why Christians should not share their faith. It's kind of awkward to hear that, right? Three good reasons why Christians should not share their faith. Rejection. Not interested. Or sometimes it's just unproductive. According to that, it is a grim forecast. But proving that Steve was innocent of the charge of being too pessimistic, he then went on to show us that that is exactly what Jesus taught his disciples that they could expect as they went to sow the seed of God's word. Rejection, disinterest, unproductivity. But thankfully, it didn't end there, did it? Didn't end there. There is a fourth soil, right? While many will reject, some will receive it and go on to produce fruit to varying degrees. But we don't know who they are. And so we, like the farmer, must sow the seed of God's word broadly and indiscriminately. Then last week, Andy preached, we were shown the truth that we as Christians have the solution to mankind's most severe and universal problem, sin. Romans 3 is clear that all of mankind is under the power of sin. Romans 3, starting at verse 10, says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That is God's indictment on all of humanity. That's the problem. But not only do we as believers know the problem, we also know the one and only solution. Amen? The gospel, the glorious message of the gospel, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And those two messages combined sum up to say, keep sowing the seed, speak up, the fields are ripe for harvest. Now this morning, I'd like to shed light on two different angles as it relates to the gospel. The first is on those who hear the gospel and eventually believe, and then also the second would be those who actually proclaim it. So let's look at the first one. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." All of us who have heard the gospel from someone, somehow, could say right along with Paul, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And maybe those of you who believe, it took several times of hearing the gospel. Maybe you heard it from a coworker, a friend, your parent, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher. Someone somehow shared the gospel, and you can reflect on that and say, thank you, whoever it may be, for sharing the good news with me. Amen? I remember for years when after I came to faith, and my boss, if you remember my testimony, I shared that my boss, when I was in the military, shared with me. And for years, whenever I would talk to him, I would say, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time and stepping out on faith and sharing the gospel with me. So appreciative, so thankful. Now, what I want to do now is kind of show you all a video testimony from our dear brother. He's not here this morning, but if you all know Noel Rodriguez, he shared the testimony, we recorded this, of how he heard the gospel in his workplace. And so basically what we're going to see is Noel essentially give honor to the Lord and say thank you for sharing the good news. So let's watch that real quick.
How did you first come to hear the gospel?
I remember I was looking for a job, and I found this part-time job. It was a car wash job. And, you know, we were washing cars here and there, you know, just doing what I had to do, friends, me, just trying to make, you know, live, making some money. And I met this guy named Chris, a very nice guy. And he would talk to me occasionally somewhere. I remember one time I was waiting for my ride. I sat on the curve, and along comes that guy, Chris, and he sits right next to me. And he said, well, yeah, he sits right next to me, and he's just like, oh, how you doing? How was your day? Everything good? How do you like the job? I was like, yeah, it's good. It's, you know, it's money, you know, it's money, you know. I'm not really talking. Good. And the words he got me is, really got me, was when he said, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I'm just like, well, yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm listening to him, but then in a way, you know, I'm just like, wow, this was unexpected. And then he says, well, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you very much, you know, and that, you know, he's here for you, and that, you know, the pain and all that you're going through, you know, there's nothing that he can't handle. And I was just, you know, just like, wow, you know, in shock, but I didn't really say much. I was just listening to him. And so anyways, my ride comes, and he's like, okay, well, you know, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you, and keep your head up. You know, just, okay, thank you. So he stands up with me as I'm finna leave the ride, and he gives me a hug, and I'm just, wow, you know, just, you know, he hugs me, you know, and it's just, I guess not, you know, having that while back, you know, just from any other, just a regular strange, you know, guy coming in. And so he hugs me, and he says, all right, brother, I'll see you later. I'll see you later. I said, God bless you. I was like, God bless you too, you know.
And then you had a job change, correct?
So, yeah, as the days went on, yeah, I remember, I worked at that car. Probably, I'd say, maybe one more week later, same with Chris. But Chris was that guy Chris was going to leave. And he had gave me his number. And so he said, well, hey, if you ever want to talk or anything, you call me. He called his number. You know, I've had this house phone for years, and I don't think it's ever going to go anywhere. So I was like, oh, okay, thank you. So I put it in my pocket, you know, my wallet. I got a little small wallet. I put the number in my wallet, and I keep it there. So I said, all right, you take care. He's like, all right, you take care, brother, you know. And when I give him a hug, and so I worked there for probably for another 2 or 3 days, and then I'm gone. So, and I finally get this job. It's a Vantone. It's a creative company. It's a flavor creative company. And so I'm working there. So I start the job, and I just remember, you know, getting the job, and I had a heavy, it was just like, wow, okay, I'm working, I'm doing all this, but I still felt like my heart, I mean, just pain and sorrow and all. So I remember the number that I got from Chris. So I pulled the number out, and I call him. And so I just started telling him about, you know, and long story short, I started telling him about, you know, how he told me, you know, the gospel and stuff like that. And so he basically was saying the same thing, you know, about like how God loves you, and that, you know, and that, you know, he's here. And he started praying for me. I started telling him everything about, you know, the troubles I was going through. He said, you can talk to me, and that God loves you, and just everything. I mean, we talked probably for like an hour. I mean, just nonstop fellowshipping. And we were just talking about the Lord. And so, you know, I hung up with him, go back to work, you know. I'd say about like a week, 2 weeks later, I remember being at lunch. And I walked to this field out there. It's just a field out there by itself. There's nobody around. I mean, it was just like a perfect time to be by yourself, you know. So I walk up to this field right there, and I just I drop to my knees and I just start bawling, and I'm looking up. And I even remember looking up, and it's coming down. Tears are coming down my eyes. I've never experienced anything like that before. And I pick my hands up and I say, "Well, God, if you are real, or you know, Lord, or you know, Jesus, or you're out there, you know, save me, because I cannot do this no more." I mean, just so much words. I was just looking up, and I was just 3 minutes, and I just feel so shaky, but I feel like this beautiful fire in my heart. You know what I mean? And I'm just so grateful. You know, I believe that I was saved that day, that God came and rescued me. It's just like all the pain and all that I had inside just like faded away. Like I cannot express how I feel on that day.
What would you say to Chris if he were here right now?
Oh man, there's no words. I mean, I'd probably hold him and not let him go. I'd just be so, oh man, I would look at him in the eyes. I would just hold his face. I would just say thank you for sharing the gospel with me, for introducing me into the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He's everything. I mean, I couldn't thank him enough. I really could. I mean, all I could do is say that you're my brother. I love you so much, and I will die for you. I mean.
Just for the record, the Chris he's talking about is not me, okay? But what a testimony, amen? The guy named Chris, a former coworker at the car wash, strategically positioned at that place at that time, shared the gospel with Noel, eventually leading Noel to essentially cry out to the Lord, "Save me." And did you catch the last part? When asked what he would say if Chris were here right now, "Thank you. I love you." Essentially, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So we praise the Lord for Chris's faithfulness in sharing the gospel with Noel, for proclaiming the one solution to not only Noel's, but all of mankind's universal and most severe problem. But again, we still realize that they don't all turn out that way. We know that. We all probably heard of situations where we've tried to share the gospel, or you've heard someone else try to, where people rejected it. People weren't interested. But we have to remember that it's our responsibility, our privilege to proclaim it. It's God who saves. It's our role to proclaim it as a good ambassador should. And that brings me to the other angle I'd like to look at. The first, again, had to do with those who hear the gospel and go on to bear fruit. This would represent Noel. Now we turn our attention to the one who actually shares it, the one with the beautiful feet who bring the good news. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that God has given believers the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed the task to believers. In verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." That was the ministry entrusted to believers in the first century, and it's also the ministry entrusted to believers in the 21st century. God has decided to use his people. He is making his appeal through us to draw people to himself. Now, if it's okay, I'd like to go ahead and deal with the proverbial elephant in the room right now. I think, unless I'm mistaken, we could probably all say we've not arrived in this. Want to get an amen there? Or to say it positively, we could all grow in this area of sharing the gospel. Amen. Good. So let me just get that out there. We can relax now. No one's arrived. We're all in this together. But our vision is for us all to grow in this vital area. Even the disciples in the book of Acts prayed for boldness to share the gospel. So we're in good company. The other thing I'd like to say is we realize that many of you have already taken on this ministry of ambassadorship already in your own homes. Whether you're teaching Sunday school, VBS, Kids Beach Club, Awana, wherever it may be, you are already doing this, and we would say, amen, keep it up. But there's also the aspect of the corporate evangelism with those that we do not know. Together as a church. And so we have, we've been out into the neighborhood, and I'll be able to tell you more about that in just a minute, but we want to also include that under the umbrella of sharing with our world, not just with family, not just with friends and coworkers, but also those who we don't know, in a corporate effort to reach those around Centerpoint Church. So with that said, remember, we're focusing on those who sow now. I want to go ahead and ask Terry if you would come on up here. We are going to do a live testimonial to hear from Terry. Now, for those of you who don't know Terry, Terry Dyer is obviously a member of Centerpoint Church, and for a long time, for several years, she has stepped out of her comfort zone, so to speak, to join us in our corporate evangelism efforts. And so I'd like for her to come, and she's agreed, thankfully, to step out of our comfort zone again and share. All right, Terry, well, first let me say thank you for agreeing to step out of your comfort zone once again and come up before the whole congregation and share. The first question I want to ask you is, how did you initially get involved with CenterPoint's efforts to go door-to-door in the neighborhood?
Well, it started when had signed up to go on the Columbia mission trip, and as part of our training, we were learning how to prepare for what we were going to do in Columbia, which was go door to door and seek out people that we could share the gospel with. And so that's how I got started with the neighborhood evangelism.
Okay. So prior to that, the mission trip opportunity came about, we announced it. Now prior to that, have you done anything like that before?
Never.
Okay. Well, what about, I know you had some anxiety, and so as you signed up, got interested in the mission trip, and then you knew the requirement that, you got to do it here. What kind of anxiety or fears did you experience as you that day was approaching where you were actually go out for the first time?
In the beginning, I was terrified because I was afraid that people wouldn't answer their door, or if they did, then they'd slam the door in my face and, just say, go away, I don't want to hear this.
Okay. All right. So that was going into it, okay, and then we started to go out together. Right, and various teams going door to door, and we had some training before that. Having gone out a couple times and done that, as you reflect back on the initial anxiety or fear that you had, what did it turn out to be?
Not like what I was afraid of in the beginning. I mean, some people, of course, did not want to talk to us, but it wasn't nearly as bad as what I had envisioned. Some people did take the time to talk to us and listen to what we had to say and, just let us love on them and pray for them. And it's like, hey, this is not so bad.
It's not so bad. See? Not so bad. So what would you say to those here? Because like we said, we can all grow in this area. And I would imagine at the very least, as when folks think about going and knocking on a door or talking to strangers about the gospel, there is like terrified on the one end of the spectrum, or at the very least, anxiety like maybe that you had. What would you say to those folks?
I'd say just, take a leap of faith. And one thing that helped me was just kind of pretend like you're talking to a neighbor next door, or you're talking to one of your friends or coworkers. You're just having a conversation with another person. So if I can do it, anybody can.
Well, you hear that? Y'all hear that, right? If she can do it, anybody can do it. Thank you, Terry. Give her a round of applause, y'all. Thank you for doing that. Okay. Give you a hug. Appreciate it. Sorry, I'll just give you a hug. Thank you. All right, let me get this rearranged here. All right, as you said, as you heard her say, if Terry can do it, anybody else can, right? Well, just like Terry, we can all have a similar testimony of stepping out of our comfort zone, right? And so if we have that anxiety, maybe we're terrified, we've been there. We still are there. We can identify that with that. But it's still our role. Remember, God has given us the task of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, and God makes his appeal through us. And so we want to be faithful in love and compassion and with the desire to see the lost saved. Again, I realize discomfort, anxiety, maybe you're terrified. But we understand that, and that's why we want to have an opportunity to help you overcome that. So, a group of us several years ago started going door to door for the first time, and when we first started, we started going every other month. And then as time went on, we started going every month, and we want to continue to increase that. So I'm going to show you a map here. This map represents the neighborhood behind us at Center Point. And Center Point Church is pretty much right in here. And all these little dots here represent the houses we've been to. Let me zoom out a little bit. We want to continue to push those boundaries out. But we need your help to do that. And so we've set aside this next Saturday, April 20th, April 20th to go out and do this, but let me tell you what these pins mean, because Terry kind of alluded to it. The green pins means the conversation went well. So whether they are someone, you know, maybe we prayed with them, they gave us prayer requests, maybe they are believers already, they have a church home, or maybe they didn't have prayer requests, but they were very friendly. Does that make sense? Then we have yellow. Okay, yellow wasn't quite as friendly, but they weren't mean. Okay, maybe they didn't want to talk very much. Maybe they didn't really have any prayer requests. I mean, they were just kind of indifferent, you know. And so we go in here and we highlight the pin and we say, okay, we put some notes down. There's a little Google Map thing. We can put the notes on every house we visit. Then we have the red. Now red, we label it hostile, but it's not really hostile necessarily, okay? The red means several different things. One, it could mean that there's a no soliciting sign up. Two could mean they didn't want to talk to us, and they made it very clear, and it didn't qualify for yellow. Another way it could mean that, we saw them look out the window, and they didn't open the door. And so, you know, so we said, okay, obviously they don't want to talk to us, so let's highlight that red. But in all these places we go and we'll put it like a flyer or a gospel tract, you know, things like that. Black, the black ones mean that nobody was home when we went by. And so we leave a brochure, but we track all this in the Google Maps. And then you have blue and purple, and those mean such things such as the house is vacant, or the people are about to move, but the bottom line is we try to track every house we go to, and then it allows us to follow up later on. If someone had a prayer request, for example, we can go back and say, hey, you had us pray for the surgery for your sister. How'd that go? And so we are being intentional about doing these things, but again, we need your help. So April 20th, this coming Saturday, we have a team of people who are poised, who've been doing this with us for the last several months and year, who would partner up with you to have you go with us door to door. Now, this anxiety creeps in, maybe a little bit of fear. We want to relieve you of that, because if you go out and step out of your comfort zone, you don't necessarily have to say anything. You can just go along with someone else who will do the talking, do the knocking, and you can just pray. And then maybe, as we go a little bit further, you may get to the point and say, okay, I've done four houses, now I want to do it. That's what Terry did. That's what several others did. Or maybe you're not ready yet. That's okay. It may take several times of going out. Nevertheless, we are all called to be ambassadors for our Lord. So There is a sign up in the hallway as you walk out on our clipboards up there for next Saturday, April 20th in the morning. We're going to go out for about 1 hour. If you are interested, we would love for you to sign up. If you have questions, you can come talk to me or Andy or Chuck or any of the team that you see on that list to give you information. And just so you know, we have a very, the way we get into the conversation is very disarming, non-threatening, and so we try to avoid the red category, right? But sometimes people still don't want to talk to us. It's okay. But we have a strategy that we use. Also, you'll see a picture here. Here is Chuck and Terry talking with a mom and her son. But over here, you see the Cox family. And I have this up here to say, this is a family-friendly opportunity. Okay? Not only does going to the neighborhood help fulfill our vision of corporate evangelism, but it also helps in the strengthening category of discipleship, of showing others how to do it. And also, just think about this. Parents with their children going out and talking, children can see their parents trying to share the gospel. What better way? There is an opportunity to do that. So we want to use something like this as a catalyst to continue to reach the neighborhood, but it doesn't end there. We also would like the opportunity to go into your neighborhood. So if you're like, hey, I would love to do this in my neighborhood, let me know. We would have some folks come and join you going door to door in your own neighborhood. We'd be happy to do that. And last but not least, before I close in prayer, now this kind of fits in with the way it came about with Terry. We have an opportunity for a mission trip to support a missionary family that Centerpoint supports down in Mexico. They are doing something very similar to this that we did in Colombia in going door to door, trying to share the gospel and giving Gospel of John's to every household that they visit. This is coming up June 2nd through 7th, and we have next to the sign-up roster for the evangelism next Saturday, we also have a bunch of information, a little sheet like this that you can take with you that gives the details, the cost, and things of that nature. So if that's something that you may want to do, you can contact Ted and Priscilla Clark to get more information about that. But nevertheless, I just want to close with saying that how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We have the glorious gospel. We have the solution to mankind's most significant and universal problem. We have the solution. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the gospel. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to live the life that we couldn't live, to be crucified, buried, and risen from the dead. Victorious over sin and death and evil. And Father, we thank you for using your people to have us hear the gospel and to believe. And Father, we ask that you would help us overcome any fears or hesitation that we have as we go to share the gospel with others who have not heard or maybe haven't come to faith. Lord, it is a privilege. We want to be faithful to see people saved, and that involves stepping out of our comfort zone. We know, as you said in your word, as you taught the disciples, Jesus, that people will reject it. People will persecute. People will not hear, but we know there are those out there who will. So, Father, strengthen us. Give us boldness to proclaim the gospel as we should. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.